In April 2018, I was scheduled to be interviewed at an effective altruism conference at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, about 3 miles from my home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Unable to attend the whole conference, I arrived about an hour before my interview. I entered a large room filled with a few hundred attendees, most of them under the age of 30, and had the somewhat random, and definitely lucky, opportunity of hearing the speaker before me, Bruce Friedrich. I had not met Bruce before, but his talk rocked my world, personally and academically. A lawyer and the CEO of the Good Food Institute, GFI.org, Bruce introduced me to a new way of thinking about reducing animal suffering. He noted in his talk that the growth of vegetarianism, a commitment to eating no meat or fish, has been very limited. One clear reason for this is that preaching to your friends about the virtues of vegetarianism is not an effective way to change their behavior or maintain your relationships with them. So, what can a vegetarian do to help others also leverage the benefits of lower consumption of animals and improve society by improving the environment and human health, making our food production more efficient so that we can feed the world hungry, and reducing the risks of a growing antibiotic crisis? Bruce answered this question by introducing a world of entrepreneurs, investors, some amazingly wealthy, and scientists who are working with the Good Food Institute to create and encourage the consumption of new meats that taste very similar to meat without requiring the pain, suffering, or death of any animals. These alternative meats included new plant-based products already on the market, such as Beyond Meat and the Impossible Burger, as well as cultivated, also called clean or cell-based meat, that will be grown from the cells of real animals in a lab and produced without the need for more animal deaths. Bruce argued that producing meat alternatives that are tasty, affordable, and readily available in grocery stores and restaurants is a much more fruitful means of reducing animal suffering than preaching about the negative effects of meat consumption. It's a profitable enterprise, too. Within a year of Bruce's talk, at its initial public offering, the relatively new company Beyond Meat was worth $3.77 billion. Months later, the company's value soared billions higher. Many management scholars define leadership as the ability to change the hearts and minds of their followers. But note that Bruce's strategy had little to do with changing people's values and everything to do with motivating them to change their behavior, with little or no sacrifice required. This is just one example of how we can adjust our own behavior and encourage others to do the same in ways that will create more net good. We'll explore many more of them in this book. The Space Between. I have spent my career as a business school professor. Business schools aim to offer practical research and instruction on how to do things better. I often offer my students prescriptions for how to do better, from making better decisions to negotiating more effectively to being better more broadly. By contrast, ethicists tend to either be philosophers who highlight how they think people should behave, or behavioral scientists who describe how people actually behave. We will aim to carve out a space between the philosophical and behavioral science approaches where we can prescribe action to be better. First, we need a clear understanding of the foundations on which we are building. Philosophy's normative approach. Scholars from a range of disciplines have written about ethical decision-making, but by far the most dominant influence has come from philosophers. For many centuries, philosophers have debated what constitutes moral action, offering alternative normative theories on what people should do. These normative theories generally differ on whether they argue for the maximization of aggregate good, utilitarianism, the protection of human rights and basic autonomy, deontologists, or the protection of individual freedom, libertarianism. More broadly, moral philosophies differ in the trade-offs they make between creating value versus respecting people's rights and freedoms. However, they share an orientation toward recommending norms of behavior, a should focus. That is, philosophical theories tend to have very clear standards for what constitutes moral behavior. I am confident that I failed to achieve the standards of ethical behavior for most moral philosophies, particularly utilitarianism, on a regular basis, and that if I attempted to be purely ethical from a philosophical perspective, I would still fail.